Gronk has a concussion.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully he'll be able to make it. Praise the Lord. People, good testimonies and great, great prayer meeting today. Let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn prior to the message. We'll stand and open up to hymn number 12, speaking of our prayer time today. There's coming a day, brethren, when we no longer will pray. We'll be with the Lord in person. Oh, man. We'll see Him face to face, the Bible says. Sweet hour of prayer. We'll sing the first and the second. First and second of hymn number 12. Time out, church. Organ's got the wrong number. We'll get right to it. That's a good hymn, too, though.
Sweet
hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and not escape that tender snare, but I return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy ways shall my petition bear. To Him whose truth and faithfulness engage that waiting soul to bless, and since a bit may seek His face, believe His word and trust His grace. I'll cast on Him mine every care, but if for Thee, sweet hour of prayer. Amen, amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing today. Thank the Lord for that sweet hour of prayer. The third stanza we did not sing, it says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. There's the rapture. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise, to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. See, these old hymns of the faith, they knew. They were pre-tribulation rapture. They were premillennial dispensations. They understood the true doctrine of Scripture, that we're going up before the tribulation period. We'll shout while passing through that air. What a day that'll be. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, church. So thankful for your faithfulness to the house of God. We need to continue to be faithful in these final days, because there's not much time, church. I'm here to tell you. Please open up your Bibles today to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. One of the mistakes that many preachers, even theologues, make is by getting their doctrine out of the book of Acts. The book of Acts, as you know, your dispensationalists, is a transitional book of Scripture. You never get your doctrine from a transitional book.
But here, in Acts chapter 8, all of the Bible is for you in one of three ways, either doctrinally, historically, or spiritually. Every verse of Scripture is for you in one of those three ways. There's a fourth application to many verses, and that is prophetic. But here in Acts chapter 8, I want to speak to you a message today I've entitled Counterfeit Christianity. Counterfeit Christianity. I know I'll get letters this week, I'll get nasty notes, and that's okay, because we must preach the truth. Amen? Folks, I'm afraid to tell you that today this world is absolutely infected with counterfeit religion. It's everywhere. It's everywhere, and the truth needs to be proclaimed. Because only the truth will set souls free. Religion can't do it. I would ask you to look with me here in Acts chapter 8. We'll stand for the reading of God's holy word. Those who are able, you 9-month pregnant moms don't have to do that. He's ready to pop over there. This one over there has got a bad back. Oh, only if you're able. Look with me in Acts chapter 8 at verse number 5. We'll begin reading in 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, those are demons, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Notice the miracles and signs following the preaching of the gospel in this transitional period. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because out of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaria. I want to speak to you, beloved, today briefly on counterfeit Christianity. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the passage that lies before us. And Lord, we see a whole bunch of miracle signs and wonders going on in this chapter. And Lord God, indeed, you granted that for that time. You said that the preaching of the gospel would temporarily be accompanied by these things. Lord, I thank you that now that the scripture, the canon, is complete, that which is in part is done away with. There is no more need for miracles, signs, and wonders. We have the Bible, the Word of God. Lord, I thank you so much today for a true church, a Bible-believing church. We don't go by signs, miracles, or wonders. We go by the Word of God and what saith the Lord our God. We're so grateful for the truth, Lord. But, oh Lord, in this world, we are so full to the brim of counterfeit Christianity. It's everywhere, Lord. Lord, it's unspeakable, the things that are happening and going on, and people, by the masses, being deceived by signs, wonders, and miracles. Oh, Lord, I pray you bless this message. I pray it may open someone's eyes, that they might see that they don't need religion. They need the person of the Son of God. Lord, we just thank you so much for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's still the truth of the gospel. It always will be. Lord, we thank you for it, and we ask you to bless your word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, in the 8th chapter here of Acts, we have some incredible events taking place. And brethren, one of Satan's chief tools in his bag of tricks is religion. Even the very first temptation in the Garden of Eden was a religious temptation. Do you realize that? Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. That temptation was a temptation not to be ungodly, but to be godly. Remember what Satan said to Eve? And ye shall be as gods. You'll be godlike. You'll be godly. Are you listening? Religion tells you that you can be like God. No, you can't. That's a lie of the devil out of the pit of hell. That is man's way of attempting to make himself holy. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. We'll see it clearly from the Word of God. His temptation to the first parents of planet Earth was not for them to sin, but for them to get religious. Devil loves it when you get religion. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent. God had blessed Adam and Eve, gave them the Garden of Eden, everything they needed. Here comes the devil. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He still is. You got to watch out for him. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, first of all, folks, he's misquoting scripture. God never said that. You see how the devil lies? He always twists the word of God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. True. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now Eve is misquoting scripture. Oh man, you got to follow this. And the serpent said unto the woman, he's glad now, she's misquoting the Bible. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The opposite of what God said, the devil always says. You don't need to be born again. You don't need to listen to that loudmouth Baptist preacher. You don't need to be saved. You'll be just fine. Be a good person. That's what religion says. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He says, the devil says, if you do what I say, you'll be godly. That's what he's saying. He wants them to disobey and become religious. Now listen to me. Satan is a counterfeiter. So rather than to deny the faith, he counterfeits the faith. I hope someone's listening. This has been his MO ever since the garden. He does not attempt to withdraw man from being religious, but rather he attempts to make man religious with false counterfeit religion. Listen, the devil knows that if a man feels comfortable in his standing with God because of his religion, then that man will never find the only true religion of biblical Christianity. Now, let me make a statement, church. Religion has sent more souls to hell than any vice you could ever imagine. Religion cannot save your soul. Religion is Satan's way of making man feel good in his sin. Are you listening? I don't care what religion you belong to. Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, Krishna, Eastern mysticism, Catholicism, Judaism, humanism, or Oprahism. They will all put you in hell like a bullet. That's because religion can't save you. Only the person of Jesus Christ can do that. Beloved, I want to give you three things today concerning counterfeit Christianity, that is false religion. First, don't be dazzled by the satanic force of false religion. Don't be dazzled by the satanic power in false religion. There is power there. There is supernatural occurrences taking place. Go back to our text. I'll show it to you. In Acts chapter 8. Look at this. Do not be dazzled by satanic power that is contained within false religion. That's why it deceives so many. There is a demonic power behind it. Look with me in Acts chapter 8 at verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people. Now, the Greek word there in verse 9 for sorcery, pharmakeia, is where we get our English word pharmaceuticals, drugs. They're attached to each other. Demonism and drugs are attached. Same city, he used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now notice what's happening in verses 9 and 10, people. This guy, Simon, is working demonic signs and wonders, okay, by demons. He's using, I'm going to talk a little bit about this in a little while here. He's using demonic powers to deceive the people. And the people are saying in verse 10, this man is of God. You see that? This very same thing is happening today. I'm going to prove it to you in a little bit here. Bear with me. There is a supernatural power in false religion. It's demonic. It's satanic. Go to 2 Thessalonians for a moment. Hold your place. In 2 Thessalonians, go with me to chapter 2. The devil has the ability, remember he's an angel, a fallen one. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look what the Bible says. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked, that's Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Notice the devil is at work in the world today. How is he working? With all power, there's that satanic power, and signs and lying wonders, miracles. Folks, listen to me. You've got to understand. In verse 9, it mentions the words lying wonders. What that means is miracles which deceive. Miracles which deceive. The devil can do that. And he is doing, he's been doing that for 2,000 years. In Revelation chapter 16. It's a serious message today because there's a bunch of counterfeit religion out there. And most people are deceived by it. I'm so glad we're in the minority today, church. I'm so glad we're on the winning side. We know the truth. We've been set free by Jesus Christ. We don't have religion. We have salvation. Revelation 16, look with me at verse 14. Look at this, verse 14. 13, I saw three unclean spirit, demons, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's your satanic trinity. For they, these spirits, these unclean demons, they are the spirits of devils working what? Miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And guess what? They'll follow like sheep. Bah, bah, show us the way. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Why? Because they're working miracles before them saying, we're of God. You've got to do what we say. And they will. Because they're deceived. They're in the tribulation period. Remember Pharaoh's magicians in Exodus? They performed satanic miracles. When Moses performed a divine miracle from God. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Flip back to 2 Timothy. I want you to see this. In the other hand, get Exodus chapter 7. In 2 Timothy, go with me to chapter 3. Look at this. 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own self. They don't love God. They love themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You are hated. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Somebody tell me, what is that? It begins with an R. Religion. Thank you, Ellie. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. He said, you got to turn away from religious people who are not saved. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. They come in looking all sweet and syrupy and lead captive silly women, foolish women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Oh, they're just shacking up today. You don't get to get married, the devil says. Common law. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Where are they ever learning, church? In their religion. Look at it. Now, as Jannes and Jambres. We're getting the names of the Egyptian sorcerers, folks, right here in verse 8. Don't you love how the Holy Spirit gives you these nuggets? As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Who's the theirs? Jannes and Jambres. Go back there, we'll see it. Exodus chapter 8. He just identified the Egyptian magicians who used sorcery to perform miracles for Pharaoh. Look at it. Exodus chapter 8. You can't make this stuff up. It's no different today than it was 5,000 years ago. In Exodus chapter 8, look with me at verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Go back to chapter 7 for a moment. Before we read in 8. Look in chapter 7 of Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak. Now, what God is saying is, you're my mouthpiece to this heathen king. You tell him what I say. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Time out, church. How many of you knows that the devil is an imitator of God? Anything God does, the devil says, oh, I can do better. I can do what God does. I can be God. That's what he thinks. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt. God's got a purpose in everything he does. And bring forth mine armies. And now notice what God calls the Egyptian slaves. His armies. They don't have weapons. They're weak. They're sickly because they don't eat enough. And then they're prisoners. He says, those are my armies. And my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. He will. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from amongst them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Pharaoh, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Now this is a miracle of God that God commanded Moses to perform. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. And they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. How? It's a miracle. God can transform objects into living objects. Look at this. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. I like that. Folks, listen to me. There is satanic, demonic miracles taking place in verse 12. You've got to see this. And there's a divine miracle taking place by Moses in verse 10. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. Now, go with me to chapter 8. Look with me at verse number 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. You ladies love this, don't you? Ladies hate frogs. They're yucky. They're slimy. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now, time out, church. You got to get a hold. These guys are not playing with a full deck. Moses brings up frogs by God's power. And they say, oh, we can do the same. They bring more frogs. Now Pharaoh's really upset. Verse number 8. Look at it. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, he's lying. But in verse number 8, notice that Pharaoh's sorcerers and magicians cannot get rid of the frogs. Why? Because God's power is almighty. The devil's power is limited. Listen very carefully. The devil's power is limited. Don't be deceived, church, by the power of false religion. Flee from it. Do you know what the magicians are doing today? Listen to me. David Copperfield, guy named Chris Angel, guy named David Blaine. First of all, they are doing satanic miracles by demonic power. If you don't believe me, go to YouTube and type in black magic magicians. You will get dozens and dozens of actual footage, video footage with audio, where these guys are teleporting objects. They're levitating people. They're working miracles. There's absolutely no question about it. They're working demonic miracles today. And guess what? The people are, wow, oh, he's wonderful. Remember what they said in Acts chapter 8, verse 10? He's of God. He's of God. Why? Because he could work miracles. No, he's not. He's of the devil. So first of all, don't be dazzled by the satanic, demonic force of false religion. Though there be supernatural powers of darkness behind it, it is not of God. But secondly, today, not only do we not need be dazzled by the satanic power of false religion, don't be deceived by the superficial faith of false religion. Back to our text, Acts chapter 8. Don't be deceived, church, by the superficial faith of false religion. It's only surface faith. It's only temporal faith. It's not saving faith. Verse 13. Look at it. Then Simon himself believed also. Did he get saved? Nope. Folks, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what he believed was the miracles of Philip. Watch. Then Simon himself, I'm going to show you that. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, folks, do you know that you can get baptized and not be saved? We have an example of it right here. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized if you're truly saved. This guy wasn't. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done Now, whatever it was, the signs and miracles that Philip was performing, the Simon the sorcerer couldn't do them. So he's impressed. He's saying, this guy's got more power than me. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. They want to find out the gospel spreading to the Gentiles. And who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, again, transitional period here, where the apostles had the ability, as the Lord promised them, they could give the Holy Ghost to true believers. Look at this. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they, the apostles, their hands on them, the believers, and they received the Holy Ghost. But watch verse 18. Someone didn't receive the Holy Ghost. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Simon in verse 18 is looking at this preaching of Philip as a religion. He's not looking at it as a person who saves your soul. Look at it. Saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. He's wanting to get rich off of religion. Oh my Lord, this is so clear. We've got a bunch of shysters on TV today, like Benny Hinn. Come on, man. This guy Osteen, Rick Warren. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Why? Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Folks, this is what religion teaches. You can go to heaven if you put enough money in the plate. You can go to heaven if you send me $1,000 seed gift. You can go to heaven if you join our religious church. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. So church, never put your faith in miracles. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his holy word. Listen, Simon the sorcerer did not have his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He had his faith in the miracles which the apostles performed. Now think with me, brethren. Simon believed not in the Master, but in the miracles performed. Verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Listen to me. You can go and join as many churches or religions as you want. And you can look holier than thou in the sight of men. And you can carry the King James Bible. You can tithe and you can get baptized. But if you're not saved, verse 21 says, you're not right in the sight of God. It's a hard message today, folks. Because you've got to be born again, not religious. John chapter 2. In John's gospel, go with me to chapter 2. We'll see it once more. In John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he, Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. Watch it. When they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. And needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He still does. You believe in some preacher, you believe in some baptistry, you believe in some mega church, you believe in some religious system that's going to send your soul to hell like a bullet. These folks did. Look at it, verse 23. They believed. They believed in his miracles. They didn't believe in him. Oh, folks, how critical this is that you understand. Why did Simon perish? Why did these in John chapter 2 not get saved? Listen to me. It's because superficial faith never truly bows the knee to Jesus Christ. This temporal faith never makes him Lord. It never repents of sin. Temporal faith, you can say all the fast speeches you want about how religious you are and how godly you are. God knows your heart. And if you are not saved, you're not going. In James chapter 2, look at it. Speaking of religion, in James chapter 2. James admits there's a bunch of false religion out there. In James chapter 2, look with me at verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe in God, but they're not going to heaven. Oh, I hope somebody's getting this. You don't believe in God to get to heaven. You got to be saved and born again, regenerated by the blood. In chapter 1 of James, look at this. In chapter 1, verse 26, don't miss this. If any man among you seem to be what? Religious. Oh, we got so many religious people in the world today, but they're not saved. But and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. Religious people are self-deceived. Believe it in the Pope, believe it in the priest, believe it in Mary, believe it in all these false statues and beads and confessional boots and garbage. I can't save you. Look at it. Deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. What does that mean? That word vain. It means literally worthless. Wow! Worthless! Religion, I'm here to tell you, I'm going to get letters this week. I'm here to tell you that religion is worthless in the sight of an holy God. Salvation, that's worth something. Don't trust in supernatural experience alone, folks, as proof of salvation. Hey, witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, they all experience the supernatural, but it's not of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in case you doubt. 2 Corinthians, got to move. 2 Corinthians, powerful book you hold in your hands. The Bible. In 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 11. Look at this. This is what's happening today. Why am I preaching this? Because this is happening now, in our day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look with me at verse 13. For such, he's speaking of your televangelist here. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They say, we're of Jesus. But they don't have the Jesus of the Bible. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He appears so right. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers... Oh, folks, I hope somebody's getting this. Satan has preachers all over this planet. They're in pulpits right now proclaiming deception. It is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. He says, I want to tell you the truth. The lies of these false ministers will put you in hell. That's why I'm here today, folks, to tell you the truth. Now, Revelation chapter 13. Quickly. In Revelation chapter 13, notice that after the rapture of the church, no new thing under the sun. Satan's ministers are still performing miracles. In Revelation chapter 13, look with me at verse 13. Watch those 13s in the Bible. And he doeth great wonders, false prophet, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's satanic power, folks. It happened in the book of Job, chapter 1. And deceiveth. Here is the purpose of the demonic miracles. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. How? By the means of those miracles, which they had power to do. In the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. There's a resurrection taking place there of the Antichrist, imitating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 5. John's Gospel. Oh, folks, this the Bible couldn't be any clearer than it is concerning counterfeit Christianity. It's full of signs and wonders and miracles. How about the Word of God? How about biblical faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit? Look with me in John chapter 5. Look at verse 24. Verily, Jesus always tells the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. Listen carefully. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. According to this verse, signs and wonders and miracles have nothing to do with salvation of a soul. We've seen first, don't be dazzled by the satanic, demonic, supernatural force of false religion. Don't be dazzled by it. Secondly, we saw, don't be deceived by the superficial faith of false religion. But thirdly, finally today, don't be destroyed by the selfish focus of false religion. Don't be destroyed by the selfish focus of false religion. Acts chapter 8. Back to our text. Look at verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He's pretending to be of God, and he's of the devil. Look at it. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And, look at it, as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They didn't have Pauline doctrine yet. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Oh, how generous. No, keep reading. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. There are those in this world who think that the gift of eternal life can be earned, can be worked for, can be deserved, can be merited. And it's a lie out of the pit of hell, Simon. It's a lie of the devil. Listen carefully, church. Selfishness, Simon, that is self-centeredness, empowers false religion. You hear what I said? What do they promise you if you send $1,000 seed money? You'll get rich. That's what they do. Folks, I'm not making this up. They tell you that you'll be blessed 1,000 times over if you send me your money. Listen to me. I'm in this religion so that I will go to heaven. I'm in this religion so that I'll be popular. I'm in this religion so I can have a TV show. Listen to me. Self-centeredness is nothing but pride. It's what made the devil the devil. The sin of self-centeredness. Listen to me. What happened to Satan? Long, long ago, in eternity past, he stopped glorifying Jesus Christ, the focus of heaven, and looked at himself. And here lies the problem. Here is the problem with all false religion. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 14, quickly. Isaiah chapter 14. This book of Isaiah contains so much material concerning the second advent. Look with here in Isaiah 14 at verse number 12. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? See that? His name used to be Lucifer, that is light bearer. He was when he was standing in heaven, but he fell. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I, he's got eye problem. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will just ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Pride was his downfall. God hates it, and it's full of religion, this prideful self-centeredness, is what religion teaches. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. For New Testament book of 1 Timothy. It couldn't be any clearer than the Bible makes it. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, look with me at verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise other than the true gospel, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, salvation, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Notice in verse 4 that the Holy Ghost through Paul's pen says religious people don't know anything concerning God. They don't know God. Look at it. He is what? Proud. Proud. That's the sin of religion. It brings pride and self-centeredness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. They don't know the truth. Supposing that gain is what? Godliness. If you get rich, you must be godly. You're being blessed by God. No, you're being cursed if you get rich. Watch out for that. From such withdraw thyself. Folks, this is so clear. Now listen to me. False, self-centered religion brings two things to man's heart. It brings two things. First, it brings bitterness. It brings bitterness. Second, it brings bondage. Go back to our text. Acts chapter 8. Look it. It brings bitterness and it brings bondage. Verse 23. For I perceive that thou, Simon, art in the gall of bitterness. Bitterness. Simon was very religious, but he had bitterness. And in the bond of sin, iniquity. He was in bondage. Notice that. They both appear in verse 23. Bitterness and bondage. Why? Because that's what religion brings. Selfish focus, which only ends in bitterness and bondage. The difference between a true child of God and an unsaved religious person is very simple. The unsaved person fears the consequences of his sin, but the saved person is brokenhearted that he has broken the heart of God because of his sin. And here we have the doctrine of true and false repentance. Not that one has not sinned and one has, but that one possesses true godly sorrow for sin. The other does not. Instead, they have religion. Listen to me. He or she has false religion, counterfeit Christianity, and they think they're going to be okay in the end. So what about you today? Have you become prey to a false Christianity? A false religion? A system of works whereby you cannot be saved? Listen to me. If you are deceived by some minister that promises you that if you just be a good person and try your best to keep the golden rule and attend their little congregation, you'll be okay after you die. Or are you a true, born again, blood washed, heaven bound, saved child of God? The two are extremely different. Listen to me now in closing. You have the responsibility before your Maker to seek the truth and to embrace it. But the decision is yours. You can believe the lies of Satan found in false religion, or you can receive the truth of the person of Jesus Christ in salvation. Father in heaven, how we thank you today for true biblical Christianity, where one enters into eternal covenant with the Son of God, where he becomes mine and I become his forever. Thank you, Lord, that has nothing whatsoever to do with religion. That has everything to do with relationship, personally, between Jesus and me. Lord, I pray today for those who are deceived by some false religious system. Lord, none of them can save the soul. Lord, I'm so grateful for the truth. The Bible has preserved your words, Lord Jesus. I love how in 1 Peter chapter 1, around verse 23, verse 25, I believe it is, the Bible calls the gospel the word of the Lord, which is preached unto you. I'm so thankful for the word of the Lord, which is preached unto you today. I'm so thankful that the arms of Jesus Christ are wide open to this sin-sick world, saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest for your souls. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful that the door of salvation is still open. I'm so thankful that the trumpet hasn't blown yet, that people still can be saved, that they can come to Jesus Christ, repent of their religion, and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. I'm so thankful for that today, oh God. Lord, I've never felt the urgency of the hour like I do today. Lord, the time is so nigh. Your coming is so imminent. Lord, I pray for somebody to get saved as a result of this message today. I pray that somebody will write me this week, say, Pastor, I heard the word and I trusted Jesus Christ and got out of my religion. Now I'm saved. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd bless your word with the anointing power of your Holy Spirit, that it may bring forth fruit of salvation, even eternal life in those who hear it. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand, folks, for a time of invitation. I'd like to sing a song in closing today. And I really love this song. It says it all. As we go to hymn 63. Hymn 63. Near to the cross. Fanny Crosby. And we're going to sing the first and the last. The first and the last of hymn 63. Perhaps you have somebody that's in religion. And you've been witnessing to them. And they're not listening. You want to pray for them at this invitation, Don, for them to get saved. Get out of that religion.
Jesus, meet me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from hell. Mountain in the cross, lay my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond that river. For near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting that golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond that river.
Indeed, church, I'm so thankful that it's in the cross that man might be saved. It's at the cross, near to the heart of God, not in religion, but in the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord for your attendance today, your faithfulness, your encouragement to me. I love you all. Father, how we thank you for a good time of worship today. And Lord, how I thank you for the reminder from your word that there are so many millions, no, billions of deceived people in this world today. And Lord, every single one of them needs Jesus Christ. They don't know it, but they need Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so grateful that you love them, these lost sinners, these religious people. You love them. You died for them on the cross. And your arms are wide open to them, Lord, if they'll only come. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of many religious people today, that they may see they don't need their priest. They don't need the booth, the pew, the church. They need the person of Jesus Christ. Oh God, I pray it in the name of Jesus for many to come. Many, many to come to that rest, that place of salvation in thy person, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're still saving souls. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Great work. Whoa. Good service today.